Coming up on Fronteras, Americans take a risk to retire in paradise.
I don't want to say that, gosh, I wish I had done this 10 years from now, if I'm still alive. I don't want that to be my legacy to myself.
The Fronteras desk travels to Costa Rica to check out what it takes to retire in the tropics. A group of powerful investors tries to build the medical tourism industry in Nicaragua.
In Spanish, we say, una golondrina no hace verano, which is one particular bird doesn't make summer. If we were alone, and we expect to be alone for a long time, this is not going to work.
Is Nicaragua stable enough to draw Americans looking for cheap medical care? We'll find out. But first, the news. This is Fronteras, a journalism project that covers the U.S.-Mexico border region, immigration, and the rising Latino demographic. Fronteras was created via an unprecedented multimedia collaboration among seven public radio stations and funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting as part of its Local Journalism Center initiative. I'm Crystal Chavez. Power brokers in Nicaragua want a foothold in the lucrative medical tourism industry. In the 1980s, civil war destroyed the country's economy, but now hospital administrators and influential businessmen think the country is stable enough to lure foreign visitors looking for cheap surgeries. From the Fronteras desk, Peter O'Dowd reports.
The business of selling Americans gastric sleeves and artificial knees began at Managua's Hospital Metropolitano about a year ago. And the woman responsible is Arlen Perez.
This is the MRI. There's a patient right now.
As Perez walks the bleach-white hallways, she explains why this new project to draw foreign customers to Nicaragua's capital is hard work.
The educated patients won't take risk.
Metropolitano opened in 2004 with the backing of the Pelas family, arguably the most influential business titans in all of Nicaragua. Recently, the hospital became the country's first to get a coveted international certificate, which ensures the building and its doctors meet safety standards. Without its high-powered family name and that stamp of approval, the medical tourism project might have a hard time getting off the ground. As it is, Perez says only 10 patients a month come from the U.S. and Canada.
We're trying to get 50 patients per month. We believe that's a good number for the following 2 years at least.
Metropolitano is starting out with ads targeting Latinos in the U.S. The basic message is that a hip replacement might cost $25,000 in the States.
Here we do it for $9,000.
The hospital is trying to sink its teeth into an industry that's spreading across the globe. The accounting firm Deloitte predicted more than 1.5 million Americans would travel outside the U.S. for medical care last year. Places like Mexico and Costa Rica have long been popular, but Nicaragua has more or less been off the map.
So the nice thing about the medical tourism is that they're here for a week or so, and of course that's a more profitable situation for me as the owner.
The industry is inching into American Mike Quinn's business, too. His bed and breakfast doubles as a working farm and has views of a sometimes smoldering volcano. Quinn has teamed up with the Metropolitano. Some patients go straight from its OR to Quinn's hotel. Recently, a man with a brand new knee.
He couldn't walk around too much, but he could certainly get in that pool and just relax in that kind of gravity-free environment, and that felt really good for him.
Quinn sees enough growth potential that he's invested $3,000 to build a new concrete ramp to the pool.
How are they going to get around? You need to have the accessibility.
A few years ago, this could not have happened. A decade of fighting between the U.S.-backed Contras and the socialist Sandinistas crushed Nicaragua's economy. The country still needs better roads, better education, and a stronger judicial system to catch up with its neighbors. But there is promise. According to its central bank, foreign investment here grew nearly 30% since 2008. And that's one reason Nelson Estrada sees an opportunity.
This is one of the most beautiful views that we can have in San Juan del Sur.
Estrada is standing on a mountaintop that overlooks a surfing town and a shimmering Pacific Ocean.
Wow, a dream.
Estrada wants to put a $16 million resort hospital on this mountain, and he has the clout to do it. He comes from a family of three former Nicaraguan presidents, and his sons grew up with a son of the powerful Pelas family. Estrada says he's raised most of the money he needs to break ground. The resort will be a place where foreigners go to get a nose job and then recover in luxury.
You're talking about, you know, wrinkles, the eyes, the, what do you call it, the chins, the breast, augmentation, reduction.
Estrada says every surgeon who works here will be trained in the U.S. If his project gains traction, other investors may join in, opening the market for a wave of American baby boomer retirees to move here for good.
In Spanish, we say una golondrina no hace verano, which is one particular bird doesn't make summer. If we were alone, and we expect to be alone for a long time, this is not going to work.
There's a model for all this just south of here. From this mountaintop, you can almost see Costa Rica, a country that has figured out how political and economic stability has a way of luring Americans with money. Reporting from San Juan del Sur, Nicaragua, I'm Peter O'Dowd.
Limited community college capacity could keep 2.5 million Californians out of the system over the next 10 years. For KPBS News in San Diego, Kyla Calvert tells us the seat shortage is expected to fall hardest on Latino students, squeezing more than 800,000 out of the schools.
A new report commissioned by Corinthian Colleges, a for-profit company that runs private colleges, projects a lack of access to community college programs could cost California Latinos almost $18 billion in potential earnings by 2022. Deborah Santiago heads research for Excellencia in Education, which studies Latinos in higher ed. She says California Latinos are younger on average than the rest of the population and more likely to attend community colleges than any other group.
Community colleges are, from a sticker price perspective, more affordable, and because they are in the community in which these students live, therefore accessible.
Patricia Gondra of UCLA's Civil Rights Project has also studied Latinos in the state's community colleges. She says the real crisis is that the vast majority of Latinos who also attend high schools in low-income areas are not college ready.
They spend all this time doing remedial work until they kind of run out of time and run out of money and don't even get credit for transfer. It's a huge problem, this sort of stagnation of the group in the two-year colleges.
Both say the state's new focus on improving and accelerating graduation from public colleges and universities could help. But serving more students will also require restoring class sections and student support services cut during the economic downturn. Kyla Calvert, KPBS News.
An unusual amusement park attraction in the central Mexican state of Hidalgo offers visitors the thrills and chills of an illegal border crossing. The attraction takes visitors through a fake U.S.-Mexico border complete with smugglers and threatening Border Patrol agents. The aim is to dissuade would-be migrants from making the trip. Irina Zorov has this story.
The coyote or smuggler leading the simulated illegal border crossing used the name Simon and wore a face mask. Before setting off, he addressed his charges that evening, about 40 students from a private school in Mexico City.
Tonight we're going to talk about migration. For us, it isn't just something rhetorical, but rather the opposite, because we've endured, we've suffered of hunger, thirst, injustice, heat, cold, we've suffered from everything.
Then, under the cover of night, Simon herded them into the woods towards the fake frontera. The actual U.S.-Mexican border is nearly 800 miles away from the Parque Eco Alberto. Eco Alberto is where the indigenous Ñañu community lives and where it runs a recreational park with attractions like hot springs and rappelling. And more recently, this fake border crossing for tourists. For 3 hours or so this night, the tourist group endured sirens, dogs, chases, and the fake border patrol yelling threats. Maribel Garcia works as an administrator for the parque. She says the purpose of the night walk is simple.
Our objective is to stop the immigration that exists amongst our citizens, principally from the state of Mexico to the U.S.
Garcia says traditionally this region subsisted on agriculture, but that wasn't bringing the community what it needed.
Because we didn't have sewer systems, light, telephone, roads.
So people went north. The Ñañu community has lost, according to Garcia, about 80% of its population to the U.S., mainly Arizona and Las Vegas. Garcia says it was the Ñañu youth returning home after crossing the real border that thought up this tourist attraction as a way to create income for the community and encourage others to stay. Titi, who also works as a coyote on the night walks, was emphatic that it was not training for future generations.
We try to help people so that they won't leave. It's time to create some employment, to work with our own and regenerate everything, or at least what we can, even though it might be slow going.
The Ñañu's efforts are well timed. According to one estimate, for the first time since the 1960s, there is a net zero migration from Mexico to the U.S. Increased border patrol, stricter laws in the U.S., rising smuggling fees, violence in the desert, and the struggling U.S. economy are keeping more Mexicans at home, and even have some people returning to Mexico from the U.S. Garcia, the administrator, is hoping the night walks convince youth in particular to put their energies into their home communities.
The youth that already have something figured out, that already have something visualized for the future, they're the youth that in that moment think, how difficult.
The tours cost the equivalent of about $20, so the visitors are typically middle-class Mexicans or, like tonight, students from private schools. In other words, not the most likely group to attempt an illegal crossing into the U.S. Still, there were some who had been thinking about it. Over tea and sweetbreads at the end of the walk, Jasmine Areli Moreno Alcazar said she got the message.
No, it's not worth risking it, because if we can't stand a few hours, we won't be able to stand days, because it's very ugly.
Alcazar and a friend said no longer was crossing illegally a consideration. Garcia says it's difficult to quantify how effective the tours are for other visitors. But as the Parque's tourist offerings are expanding and the number of visitors slowly growing, she says there is a new hope that enough income will come in to encourage many more of the community to stay put. For Fronteras, I'm Irina Zhurov.
There's still more Fronteras coming up. Americans take a risk to retire in paradise.
And so I'm looking forward to settling down and living life for the sake of living life.
We'll take a look at what it takes to retire in the tropics. Stay tuned. This is Fronteras. I'm Crystal Chavez. The U.S. government says up to 50,000 Americans live in Costa Rica. Many of them are baby boomers flocking to tropical beaches to retire. They're drawn to Costa Rica's biodiversity, the political stability, and its cheap health care. From the Fronteras desk, Peter O'Dowd reports on one Phoenix man who is making the move and what he's giving up to get there.
The man's name is Bill Peace.
It's sort of like my last big hurrah, my bucket list.
Peace is single and 64, counting the days until next January when he'll leave his management job and higher education behind.
And the days of internet and Blackberries and smartphones and 24-hour television and news. And so I'm looking forward to settling down and living life for the sake of living life.
From his office in Phoenix, Peace pulls up photos of his life to be in Costa Rica. He's bought a parcel of land in a development for gringos on the central Pacific coast, and he's building a 720-square-foot house on it.
This is a house above me. If you look straight down, that's my lot you're looking at with the big tree there.
Peace is jumping in head first with his entire life savings. The land and the house cost $85,000. Even had to take out a loan to close the deal. But Peace is in good company. The number of American retirees living abroad has steadily climbed in the past decade or so. Mexico and Canada still dwarf places like Costa Rica by sheer numbers, but data from the Social Security Administration show there's been a 67% jump in Americans receiving Social Security benefits there since 2002.
Costa Rica has the economic and political stability that a lot of people crave.
Aaron Van Rienen is based in San Francisco and is the author of Living Abroad in Costa Rica. She does have a warning.
People who go to a place like Costa Rica thinking that their life is going to be pretty much the same, only cheaper and warmer, those are the people that are going to have a little bit of trouble.
This is not lost on Bill Peace. A month after meeting me in Phoenix, he takes me to his new home in Costa Rica. It's the first time he's seen it in person.
This is it. Los Tucanos.
Los Tucanes is the development of a dozen or so colorful casitas cast against the deep green of the surrounding jungle. Peace's casita is simple as can be. Concrete construction, two small bedrooms. To save money, he doesn't have cabinets or a full stove in the kitchen. As we pull up to the driveway, Rhonda Berg is there to meet us.
Good to see you.
Berg is a Minnesota native who started developing in Costa Rica with her husband 5 years ago. At Los Tucanes, they're working with the Costa Rican landowners to split the proceeds from the sales. Berg says she caters mostly to middle-class Americans who are demanding basic accommodations after the U.S. economic crisis.
People will complain sometimes about what kind of building we do. We build in the price range that people can afford. We are not building high buck. That's not us.
Berg says the second and third phase of Los Tucanes have struggled to sell. When Peace moves in, he'll be one of two full-time residents, and undoubtedly he'll be challenged with expected issues like expensive electric bills, opening bank accounts, and the task of learning a new language, but also a host of unknowns.
There's a lot of anxiety, yeah.
Peace hopes to live on $2,000 a month, which he'll start collecting next year on Social Security. To make it, he'll sell his car and leave almost everything behind except his grandmother's Dutch oven and a half dozen suitcases. He'll shop at local markets, volunteer at local schools. Right now, Peace says he's not worried about money because adventure is calling.
I don't want to say that, gosh, I wish I had done this 10 years from now if I'm still alive. I don't want that to be my legacy to myself.
So Peace will take a risk in search of the pure life, or as Costa Ricans famously call it, the pura vida. Reporting from Costa Rica, I'm Peter O'Dowd.
Americans responding to marketing campaigns selling those dreams of retiring in Costa Rica, but without careful research, your golden years can turn into a disaster, as Jim Paluzzi reports.
There's scarcely a breeze on the beach in Playa Hermosa along the Central Pacific coast. Dan Brovant is surveying the sunset. He's been in Costa Rica for just 5 hours, flying in from Albuquerque. His first impression?
Heat. Heat and humidity. Of course, I'm way out of shape. I'm sure if I dropped a few pounds, I could weather the heat a little bit better.
Tropical heat is just one of the many challenges that face Brovant as he contemplates retiring in Central America. Back home, he's already starting to sell his gun collection, and he's thinking about selling his house in preparation for a move. Now he's hired a married couple here, expats Fran and Andy Brown, to give him a realistic orientation to the country.
So I thought, well, before I go any farther, I ought to make sure that I'm on the right track or figure out a plan B.
Throw it closer to the other end of the pool.
Okay. Up, way up above Hermosa Beach, the Browns' dog, Ashka, cools off by playing fetch at home in their swimming pool. And what a place this is. A $1 million home overlooking the Pacific where you can watch the sun sink into the sea every evening. The Browns are renting for just $1,400 a month. They didn't get here by chance. Andy says it took a lot of research.
People come here, they wind up thinking with their hearts instead of their heads. They leave their logic back in the States, and they come here making huge mistakes.
So the Browns got the idea of starting a business in Costa Rica, giving due diligence tours to future retirees to keep them from succumbing to their dreams.
From what I've seen, almost half the people that move here wind up going back home inside of the first 12 to 18 months because Costa Rica has not met their expectations.
The expectation of the good life, the pure life, or pura vida as it's known in Costa Rica. It's easy to understand. Costa Rica appeals to expats with its affordable health care system, the simple lifestyle, and water you can drink out of the tap. Brown says the due diligence tour exists because future retirees need a reality check.
All of a sudden, people come here, they think they can live like a king on $500 a month. That's a total bunch of crap.
So Fran and Andy begin their tours by taking potential retirees to chat with others who've already moved here. This is Fran Brown. She senses what visitor Brovant needs.
This gentleman who's here right now is single, so we're taking him to a couple of single people's homes.
But she says there's more to the tour than quizzing the retirees who are already here.
The second day, we take them to the pharmacy. A lot of people our age are on medication. Let's go see if it's available. Talk to the pharmacist. See how much that stuff costs.
And no due diligence tour would be complete without a trip to the store.
Then we take them grocery shopping where they have a heart attack. I mean, they're shocked at how expensive a bag of Ruffled potato chips is. But, you know, I say, you worked 40 years. If you want to spend $5 for potato chips, do it.
But sometimes all the preparation in the world doesn't matter if you don't heed the best advice. John Dungan of El Paso did all his own research but ignored it.
What went wrong? Oh, God. There were so many things that went wrong.
In 2009, Dungan and his wife Blanca packed all their possessions into a container and shipped them to Costa Rica.
We were happy. Yeah, we were doing great.
But it didn't last.
It's my mistake.
Dungan spent $100,000 building a house in the mountains near Lake Arenal.
I had been advised, and everywhere you look when you're talking about doing your research about going to Costa Rica, don't buy, rent. I ignored that because all my life, you know, I've been a homeowner.
The culture and bureaucracy quickly became overwhelming. Thieves stole their electricity and the police didn't help. The ATM stole their money and the bank did nothing. The problems mounted and they had to leave.
My first thought was, oh, for crying out loud, we're stuck with this house. We can't just walk away from all this.
But they did walk away. The Dungans retreated back to the States 2 years after their misadventure began. And they're happy they did. Which brings us back to Andy Brown and his advice from the due diligence tour.
Rent and get to know the country. Know that some of the processes around here are so screwed up, they defy belief. If you can do that and live and be happy with yourself, you stand a much, much better chance of living here happily and successfully.
Reporting from Playa Hermosa, Costa Rica, I'm Jim Paluzzi.
Listening to Fronteras, a Corporation for Public Broadcasting-funded journalism project that covers the U.S.-Mexico border region, immigration, and the rising Latino demographic. Fronteras is a collaboration of public radio stations KJZZ Phoenix, KPBS San Diego, KNAU Flagstaff, KNPR Las Vegas, KRWG Las Cruces, KUAZ Tucson, and KSTX San Antonio. We're online at fronterasdesk.org. And we're also on Facebook. We invite you to join the conversations and leave your thoughts about our stories. For headlines and updates, follow us. Our main handle is at Fronteras Desk. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. The theme music was composed by Charanga Cakewalk. And I'm Texas Public Radio's Crystal Chavez. Thanks for listening.